Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that this day has brought and is going to bring to us, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would be in command and in control of all that is done and said, Lord, that it might be as Jesus, when he walked among us, that he did nothing and he said nothing, except he heard of the Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Do you call it Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy,
do you call that?
Yeah.
When we're in Europe, they call it Fifth Book of Moses. Fifth Moses. Yeah. So, to the eighth chapter, and we start in, we'll just read the first three verses. If somebody has a Sabano, here, I can give you this this one here. Sabano reader. Okay, I'll read it in English. I'll do English first, and then you can do Sabano, okay? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. You read that verse, yeah.
Deuteronomio, capítulo 8, versículo 1, de 8, verse 1.
Amen. We'll just start with that verse. Now, what is the book of Deuteronomy? It is the last book of Moses.
Okay.
And you might say of the Spirit of God, but it is also the last will and testament of Moses to the people. When the Lord gave Moses the book of Deuteronomy,
Moses 40
years of the wilderness have been completed now. The people are ready to pass over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Moses is ready to die and go to his heavenly reward. Joshua is going to be God's chosen leader. And it is a summary of what God has been dealing with his people. And what God is saying is that if you will obey me and do what I ask of you, you will prosper. And you will possess the land. Now, brethren, when we read the Bible, we have to make a shift in our thinking from the natural things to the spiritual things. The natural thing is true. But the spiritual is higher truth. And the fullness of that is even higher truth. Amen. So when the Lord is promising that we can possess the land, if you want to be a carnal Christian, you will say, well, I'm going to own some land. I'm going to own some hectares. Is that the way you measure land here, by hectares? Yes, or do, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do acres. But you do hectares. I think hectares are bigger than acres. Yeah, they're quite big. Sister Nancy used to sell land and real estate, so she knows all about these measurements, you know. Amen. All right, so if all you want to do is own dirt, own dirt, earth.
Kung sa natural lang ang pagpasabot, nga daw ang kulkaw, imo pa ugalingong yuta.
And by the way, it's okay to own dirt. But make sure that the dirt doesn't own you. So you see, if I'm going to be a prosperity preacher, I will use this verse and I will tell you, see, God wants you to own lots of land. He wants you to own many houses and big farm. Okay, that's the natural side of. And when the children of Israel heard Moses say this, I believe that that's all that they were thinking about. I want to have a nice piece of land where I can grow some crops and keep my cows and my sheep, you know. And I want to build a nice house for my wife and children and grandchildren. And it's going to be better than Egypt. It's going to be better than this dry desert. Wilderness. But you see, if we are going to be a spiritual man, we're going to say, well, now there must be something else in possessing this land. I wonder if this land refers to my soul. Let's make a little drawing. I don't know what a soul really looks like. A soul is a spiritual thing. I cannot hold your soul. I cannot photograph your soul. Your soul is hidden somewhere in here. But we, from the Word of God, we know four things about your soul. Now you could do this as well as I can do this. Oh, that's not a perfect circle, is it? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. So what are the parts of the soul? Mind. I'll just put an M here. You know that M is mind. What do we have over here? desires. I'll put a D here. And we'll put an E over here, maybe. Emotions. And down here we're going to have. This is where the ox is, isn't it? Brother Edmar was telling me that to control the ox, we'll call it ox here, even though it's a cow, you have to put a ring in his nose. Right? Why do you have to do that? Because he's big and he's stubborn. He has a strong will. I don't want to go where you... Oh yes, I'll go. Yeah. Okay, so... Right. Thank you, Nancy. E and W. Emotions and will. Now, I wonder if this is my promised land. I wonder if this is what God wants me to possess. Why? What's the problem? Who else wants to possess my soul? Let's show how man is, okay? This is man, okay? Here's the soul. Alright, that's the soul. Man has a spirit. By the way, I am a living soul. Don't let anybody tell you that I am a spirit.
Soul,
spirit, and body. Now, the body is made of what? What did God make Adam out of? Dust? And where do you get dust?
Earth.
Okay. So the body is very, very joined to earthy natural things.
Ang lawas na konekta gini siya gyud sa mga natural na mga kalibutan ng mga butang.
My body has chemistry.
Ang lawas adunay sana ba explaining chemistry.
Do you know anything about your body chemistry?
Do na ila ila ini lampo ba? Di ba sa science na ana siya yung kwan? Naglampo ba ang lawas ug ila ila bahin?
Oh, you're giving a chemistry lesson.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Not a lesson, but explaining lighter information about that. So.
Okay. You know. So yeah, my body. And by the way, I can't get out of my body. I'm gonna have to live with this thing. Until the Lord says, okay, it's ready to go to dust now. So, if I'm going to be a man of the world, I'm going to run around like a wild ox. Do whatever I want, eat whatever I want, go wherever I want. Yeah. So, but this body is operated by chemicals. There's a chemical that tells me that I need to sleep. There's another chemical that gives me good sleep. Another chemical says, you've had enough sleep, time to wake up now. There's a chemical tells me, I'm hungry now. Another chemical says, you've had enough food to eat, stop now. And we might as well admit it, there is certain chemistry that tells a young man and a young lady that they'd like to get together. And be married and make a family and all the things that go along with the good life of being married. Oh yes, these are chemicals that all go up and down in your body, and these chemicals have big days and small days. Some of them go in cycles of following certain days, you know. Now the point is, who's going to be in control of that land? Because you see, if this is going to win out, you're going to be drawn down. The body pulls the soul down. And guess who's working down here?
Huh?
Satan. But who is working up here? This is the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. This is Father God. And the Holy Spirit is pulling on us to bring us up.
Siya magadala ka na to ngadto sa taas ng kasinatian diya sa Dios.
Okay. So these things, this is the mind, this is the way I think.
Kini mga butanga, una-una.
This is the way my emotions are.
Magbati na to.
In other words, if you're going to follow your chemistry by your emotions, you can make some very bad decisions. So if the young man is going to marry a young lady, because his eyes and his chemistry tells him, oh, she's so nice, she's so sweet, she's... her hair is so nice, her teeth are so nice, and oh, whatever else that the chemistry tells you. You're going to follow your desires of the flesh. The will of the carnal man. The emotions. Oh, when she looks at me, oh, I feel so good. You know? And, you know, who's going to be working on that is Satan. Satan will try to get you hooked up into a lifetime commitment of something that is going to drag you down to hell if he can. So, we need to possess this land. I'm going to possess my soul. And the only way I can possess my soul is to tell the Lord, I want you to come into my spirit and overshadow my soul.
Ang maulana nga paagi, pag-angkon sa atong kalagmaong pagtugot nato sa Dios nga mohari sa atong espiritu mo mamuhat gayud niini.
Because you see, there really is a throne in your heart.
Tungod kay sa tinud anay dunay daw sa mga likuranan sa atong mga kasing-kasing na ay pinaka-likuranan diha sa Lord Jesus.
The problem is, I think that I can sit on that throne.
Ang problema, magtuo-tausahay nga pwede kita ang makalikod ni anay maong trono sa atong kasing-kasing.
But it's either going to be this fellow here or the Lord. Now, I'm the decision maker. Okay?
The mind.
I'm going to make the decision as to which way this is going to go and how my soul is going to be possessed. Do you know that you can talk to your soul? Give me an example from the Word of God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Ah! There we go. Bless, you told your soul to bless the Lord. Was that from David?
Yes.
David must have known something about possessing his soul, didn't he? How do you suppose David learned that? Well, I think, first of all, David had a lot of tribulation. And another thing, we know that David lost control of his soul there for a couple of times, didn't he? He let the devil get into his body, tell his soul what a great idea Bathsheba would have been, and he got into a lot of trouble, and it brought trouble into his life, into his children, into his grandchildren. David also said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt graciously," I think it is, "with thee." So if your soul is in distress, if your emotions are all, such a turmoil, you say, no. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been bountiful with you. So the promise that Moses is giving to the children here is that they, the children of Israel, I mean, they can possess the land. So in possessing the land, they were going to have to drive out some inhabitants that were in the land that didn't belong there. The Ites. Hittites, Jebusites. Why don't we talk about the Ites that might possess my my land.
Hisgutan ko niya katong ginganlan niya nga aids ko no nga ni angkon sa iyang yuta o sa palad.
The anger aids.
Mao kini una kini ang kasuko nga moy naghari sa atong bate o sa atong palad ba.
The jealousy aids.
Oh, ang kaduhan na po kini kasina nga mga aids. The kasuko kasina.
Lust aids.
Ang ulag. Kanang kahinkod ay kahinkod.
Come on, give me some more. Oh, we did anger already.
Lied.
Oh, the lying ites. How about the cheating ites? Those are like Jacobites, aren't they?
Right.
Jacobites. Jacob was a cheater, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So,
Jacob, magiling lang man to.
So if I'm going to be in full possession of my land, these things have to be driven out.
Kung ang kuno na ko sa hipit ang kining akong yuta, kinahanglan din ako ipapahawa ng mga matawag illegal settlers ini. Kinahanglan din pahawa sila para paamaan ko na ko tibuok ang yuta.
I suppose we might as well put an outline of a tabernacle here.
I'm drawing siya balik sa ulagway sa tabernacle.
And the real goal of the possession here,
ang pinakatumong sa pag-angkon niini,
is right here in the Holy of Holies. I'll write HH.
Kining mo ang bahin niya gitawag pinakabalaang.
This is the holy place. You know these by now. And this is the outer court. Okay? Now, the children of Israel were not holy place people yet. It seems that maybe Moses was a holy place man. In fact, we know that Moses visited the most holy place. Because he talked face to face with God. Even though God covered his face. So the process here, he says, and thou shalt remember all the way, verse 2, which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and prove thee and know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no.
Versikulo 2, pagayon na yung ikaw, mahinundong dihas, tibog panaw, mga Ginoo, ngayong Diyos, minilakan mo na inikap at ang katuwid dihas sa damingawan, aron sa pagpaubos ka nimo, o pagsulay ka nimo, sa pagilaong sa ang diha sa imong kasigkasig, kung ikaw magtuman sa iyang kasubuan o hindi pa.
So, the journey for the children of Israel,
ato makita na ang panaw ang gihimo sa mga Israelita,
took them 40 years. What do you think? Where did they start off? They started off with Passover, didn't they? And what happened at Passover? Who died? The lamb. And the lamb, of course, first the natural, then the spiritual. See, they were children. They could not comprehend spiritual things. And maybe mankind was hardly able to comprehend spiritual things in these days. Yet we know that there were some men who did.
ganit nga nasayod ta na dunay pipila ka mga tawo nakasabot ni ini.
We know that Enoch did.
Nakasabot mo to si Enoch sa mga spiritual na mga butang.
We know that God found Noah to be a righteous man. And so there was always a remnant of those who caught the spiritual vision.
Dunay mga nahibiling na gikan ining mga kaliwatan nga nakasabot sila sa espirituwal nga mga
bata. Yeah, they caught the vision. Amen. So God is bringing them through a spiritual journey.
Ang Dios nagdala kanila pinaag sa espirituwal nga panaw.
And the first stop, of course, was the shedding of the blood of the lamb.
Unang bahin niya ang gisgutan katong pag-ula sa dugo sa karniro.
If you were at the meeting last night, Brother Bert went to great length to tell how that lamb was examined to show that it was a perfect lamb. No spot, no wound, no blemish. And so, brethren, in our journey to the Holy of Holies, the end of our salvation, the beginning of our salvation is the shedding of the blood. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. So when the Lord said to Moses that you must celebrate the Passover forever. An English word for that is perpetually, continually. Now, I don't sit down with my Jewish friends and break a little cracker and speak in Hebrew to celebrate the Passover. So how do I obey the command to keep the Passover forever? Do I obey this law?
Gikinahanglan ba daw niyang sundon o buhaton kini mo og balaod ng gisgutan?
Jesus said that every law must be kept until it is fulfilled.
Si Ginoong Jesus mismo na ingon ang matag balaod kinahanglan sundon kay kini hangtod kini buhaton sa katungayan.
Not a jot or tittle of the law will be passed away but it, until it is fulfilled. Fulfilled, completed, brought to fullness. So Jesus is the fullness of the Passover. And we're going to talk about eating his life. See, the Hebrew people had to eat that lamb. And they ate it with bitter herbs. Bitter vegetables.
Bitter.
You know. Like broccoli.
Oh, not like Brian. I used to think spinach was bitter when I was a child. Do you ever eat spinach? Oh, Mom, do I have to eat that? Spinach.
Spinach.
You don't have spinach here.
Do you have any bitter vegetables that you eat?
Yes, ampalaya.
Oh.
Ampalaya.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have. Pangyawan, yes, another one. It's pangyawan.
Okay, you don't have to cook any for me.
But it's good.
Oh, it's good.
It's good for the circulation of our blood.
Okay, see? Yeah. Medicine is good for you. Okay, so I don't want to stay right here in the tabernacle, but I just want to say, too, that there's another stop here, and it's the baptism. Now, were the children of Israel baptized? Well, I don't have time. Yes, because they went through the sea. And I'll get into that maybe this afternoon, but I just want you to know that all these, this is Pentecost here. And there were three feasts. Passover. Pentecost. Amen. And then Pentecost brings you here into the holy place. This is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. See? Baptism, water, Holy Spirit into Christ. And there's only one feast that has not been fulfilled, and that is Tabernacles. And tabernacles means that God is going to tabernacle with us.
Amen. Amen. Dili na siya literal na pista pero kasinatian ni ang Dios. Mubuyo na yun mismo nato.
Do any Filipino people live in tents?
No.
No?
There are some. Kailang mga doon na ko yung mga tao na nagbuyo ko sa tents. There are some, especially those people who are going through like after the calamities.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the fastest way to. You know,
but their permanent life is not in tents.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's
well, in these days, the children of Israel were living in tents.
Kung sa ato murag agwanta kita na kasuway ng mga tulong na ilaw sa trapal, gikang kayo. Pero ato mga panahon na ang mga Israelita magbuyo sila pinagdiri.
And the whole idea of the tabernacle in the camp. See, their tribes were out here around the, but in the middle of the tribes was the tabernacle of God.
Diri sa atong makita na tabernakulo, gilibutan na siya mga lahi katribuhan nga nakatulog ang mga kaliwatan.
So the picture was. The picture to them was supposed to mean that God will come and live among you. So if you look in the very last part of Revelation, it says that God is coming now to tabernacle with us. His tent is going to be right next to my tent. Amen.
Miss daw sama ra nagbutang sa tulda tapat sa imong tulda pero puy-an gayud kita niya. Amen.
And the prophet says And when you need the Lord, you call, and He says, "Oh, here I am." And if you're sick or if you need healing, you just say, "Oh, Lord, help me." And He says, "Okay, here I am."
No need to text.
Yeah. And Sister Nancy gave a little illustration to the children last night. Was it last night? Yeah, it was last night, wasn't it? Yeah, Jehoshaphat. Yeah, Jehoshaphat. Yeah. And the king was in trouble, and he called upon the Lord, and it was like the Lord's tabernacle was right there. He said, "Okay, I'm here. I'll help you." But you see, the Lord is saying, if this is what you want, I have certain requirements that you're to meet. You're going to have to keep my word. But they found the word of the Lord was very difficult to keep, because they were trying to keep it not because they wanted to, but, well, if I don't keep it, somebody's going to stone me, so I guess I have to do it. It isn't that they... Yes, they wanted to sin. And if they could get away with it, they probably would. If they could get away with it and not get caught. I wonder how many Christians out here are like that. I wonder if any of us would find any of that in our heart. Boy, I'd really like to be a bad guy for a while. Oh, but I can't get away with it. Oh, and if God caught me, He would spank me good. Oh, I guess I better behave. Now, you see, if we're going to possess the land, we're going to have the Spirit of God in control. We're not going to be obeying the law just because somebody's going to kill me and stone me if I disobey. Yeah. Or my wife will divorce me. Or I'll be embarrassed because everybody will talk about, "Oh, look what happened to that leader of that church. Oh my, oh my. Wasn't he secretly a wicked fellow?" No, I'm going to obey the word of the Lord because there is something that He put of His law in me. So this process is going to take some time. And Moses said, God led you these 40 years. Now, before I ever met any of you, which some of you, it would be about 10 years ago, some of you probably already began your journey. I imagine Brother Ed Meyer and Sister Madeline, Brother Ben. Yeah, you're old enough. You've probably been with the Lord more than 10 years, haven't you? How many years, Brother Ben? Is that 20?
Yeah.
20?
19.
Oh, okay. 19. All right, I wasn't counting all the fingers. but you're not all the way there yet, are you? Now, I got saved a long, long time ago. More than 65 years ago. I was 9 years old. Okay. But I didn't get very far in those first few years. But as I look back now, of feeding on this bread, drinking this kind of water, I think I have to go back almost 40 years. Okay, so some of you Bible school students, how long have you been hearing this message? 6, 7, some of you maybe? 8, I don't know.
Yeah.
5? Yeah, okay. So we'll put your name in here. So the Lord has led you these 5 years. It doesn't have to be 40. You know the number. You know what the number 40 means? It means tribulation. Testing. Trial. Yeah. Do you know that David started his calling when he was 17 years old? And there's an old brother that's told us one time that 17 is the number that means hope and promise. Amen. And you know that Goliath, the giant, he challenged Israel for 40 days. Put them under tribulation. Amen. Jesus fasted in the wilderness. How long? 40 days he was tested, tried of the devil. Okay, so we've had our period of testing. And what was the whole purpose of all this testing? What did you learn? Well, you were humbled, but what did you learn about yourself?
You have to die. They always know.
Did you find out something that was in your heart?
Yeah.
I won't ask you what it was. I can only go by my own experience. What did we say it was? 15 years ago? Yeah, about 15 years ago. When I had the heart attack and I for all intent and purposes, I was about dead. And I recovered.
Salamat sa Diyos, naayos siya gikan niini.
And 2 months later, my wife died. Right in front of my eyes, she fell on the ground and the floor and died. And I thought, only 2 months, Lord? You didn't even hardly give me a chance to recover. And after her funeral and everything, I got down and I went before the Lord. And I had a talk with him. I said, Lord, why? Why was all this necessary? Why did you have to do this to me? You know what he said? He said, I thought you asked to be among the sons of God. He said it to me. He said, I thought you asked me to be among the sons of God. So, yes, Lord, I did. I didn't know that this would be necessary to make me a son of God. So God wanted all these children of Israel to be sons of God. Now we know that there were rebellious and stubbornness among them. There were rebelites and stubbornites in the land. And they were proudites. Yes. I found out that I had a proudite that was hanging around in my land. See, I probably told you this, but when I had the heart attack, they put me in the hospital. And I said, heart attacks are for wicked people. That's for people that smoke cigarettes. Drink too much alcohol. People that run around and commit adultery. And I said, Doctor, I've lived good. Why do I have this heart attack?
Oh,
he said, I think you inherited something. Oh, a familial spirit. Oh yes, it was a familial spirit. My father died of a heart attack. Two brothers, one brother died of a heart attack, another one almost died. Uncles, aunts, yeah. Yeah. Well, then I told my wife, "Oh, I shouldn't have this. I've been so good." I told all the nurses how good I'd been. Can you imagine that about me?
Yeah, because I experienced that too in real life.
Yeah, yeah. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Job's complaint." Two words. That's all God spoke.
Two words.
When he said that, Job's complaint. In other words, you figure it out, son.
Job's complaint?
Job's complaint. Those are the two words the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I realized that I have been proud of being good. Proud that I never touched a cigarette to my mouth. Proud of my good works. Now, I don't advise you to go out and do bad works. But God wants you to know it is not by works of righteousness. But by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he tries you and you find out that there's something in your heart and you didn't know it was there. Do you ever talk to God? I said to God, God, wouldn't it have been easier for you just to sit down with me and say, "Look, son, you've got some pride. I want you to take care of it." I mean, I've been saying that to God for over 40 years. Couldn't you just sit down and say, "Look, son, here's a problem. Why don't you take care of it?" And then I would just make myself. I would stop doing that and I would start doing this. But apparently it wouldn't change something inside of me. And so God knows that he has to put me through tribulation. For 40 years? Can I not come to the end of this, Lord? You know, I am convinced that it's going to last the rest of my life. And I might as well smile. And I might as well rejoice, and I might as well give thanksgiving and praise to God. Now, how does God work? There's a little secret here. God tells how he works to get you to the place where you want the Word of God to live in you. Once you find out there's something in your heart, he says in verse 3 now, he says, "And he humbled thee." Oh, we'll stop right there for a minute. He humbled thee. He brought you low. What does James say about humbling? Come on, Brother James. Brother James, in the book of James, isn't it James that said, humble yourself, therefore, under the almighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you?
Yes.
So I would rather just be exalted and get all the good things that I want without having to be humbled. But you see, the Lord said, if I did that to you, you would be proud and arrogant. And you wouldn't be like Jesus, would you? Didn't you say you want to be a son of God? And a son of God means that you're going to be like Jesus. Now, by the way, that says humble yourself. I have known people that believe it's their job to humble other people. You see, Sister Madeline, it is not my job to humble you. Even if I think I might like to sometime. I'm not picking on you. I just, because you're here. Amen. No, it is not our job to humble other people. It's our job to pray for other people. God will humble you. He'll bring you to the circumstances, and then you must humble yourself under his hand. James 4 what?
Verse 10.
James 4:10. You want to write that down? Alright, so the first part is that he humbled you and suffered you to hunger. Alright. Welcome, Brother Michael and Sister Eileen. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger. How many of you enjoy being hungry? Well, we get hungry several times in the day. I mean, there's chemistry that makes you hungry, isn't there? Your blood sugar. Yeah, your blood sugar, that's a chemical. Your blood sugar drops and then says, oh, I need some calories here. So he suffered you to hunger. But the problem is, he suffered you to hunger. That means you didn't get what you wanted when you wanted it. You didn't get what you thought you wanted to eat. Now remember, we are using the natural things to talk about spiritual principles. So what kind of hunger is God trying to put into us in a spiritual sense? What does he want us to hunger for? See, what they were hungering for, remember we were talking in the book of Numbers, you'll find it in Numbers. What they were hungering for is the things from Egypt.
ang mga Israelitang gisgutan sa Numeros, ang ilang gipangita o gipangandol ang mga butang na kuha dito sa Ehipto nila na sinatian.
It says leeks and garlics and onions and cucumbers. These things that spice up our food a little bit. Now God could very well have caused leeks and garlics and onions and cucumbers to grow in the desert. He could have done it just as easily as he caused manna to come. So they could go out every morning and pick cucumbers. Yeah, but they would have complained about that too. Yeah. So they wanted Egypt food. And their complaint was that our soul is dried up. What does this have to do with me getting enough food to eat in my stomach? No. It wasn't just food that they wanted. They had food. Manna was very sufficient food. They wanted the taste of Egypt. They wanted the taste of the world. They wanted spice. They wanted to partake of spirits. You know, in the course of my life, I've seen a lot of things happen and I've known a lot of people. People in your family. People that you work with. You know what? I found out, I'll just give you one example. A married couple. And they go and they cheat on one another. The guy goes out, finds another woman. Does that? Why do they do that? It's not because they don't have what they need at home. They want another spice of spirit. Whatever. A new conquest. I don't know whatever, but it's a they want to participate in a spirit. And in the course of time, that spirit isn't good enough, move on to another spirit. Have you seen that too, brother?
Yeah.
You've known things over the years. Yeah. And what's really needed is the Spirit of God. We need to be satisfied with the things that God has given us. Wasn't it Paul that said contentment with godliness is great gain? Listen, brethren, this is Kingdom Word, but Kingdom Word has a very practical side to it. We don't just live with our head in the cloud somewhere. We have a very practical, we call it nuts and bolts, living as well. It's an American expression. Nuts and bolts, down to earth. Where the rubber meets the road. These are American English terms. It means the real world. We live in the real world. We're going to have to be content in the real world. And we're going to live an upright, righteous life. Okay, now, in verse 3 again. We'll just go ahead and read the rest of it. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live.
Og siyang paubos kanimo og gitugot kanimo sa pagkadugyong og ipakaon kanimo pinaagi og mana nga ikaw wala nakaila ni ang imong mga amahan nakaila aron siya makahibo kanimo sa pagkahibalo nga ang tao dili mabuhi sa tinapay lamang apan pinaagi sa matagpulong nga nagawas kita sa baba sa Ginoo ang tao mabuhi.
Now, so he made you hungry.
Ibuhat kita niyang ipasinati kita niya nga gutom.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. He made you hungry, first of all.
Ipasinati kita niya diha sa pagbutom.
I don't believe that any of you would be here today or any other day that we have these meetings if you had not somehow been hungry for something more than you were getting.
Wala sayang mo na huna nga posible ang pipila ka nato wala ni ang karon o sa nilabay ng mga katiguman nga ana ata sa kahimtang daw natay gipakita dunay pagbuto nga atong gisinati sa espiritu nga bahin, spiritual nga bahin.
If you were getting everything that your heart desired, your soul desired of the Word of God in the church system, you wouldn't be here today.
Kung nagpabiling ta ang sistema sa simbahan na ato na sinagian kanyanto, papaduling pa kayo maghangtod karon, posibleng hindi na ito madawat ang mga butang karon na giandam diin mas lalo pa mapapasabot ng spiritual na bahin.
I know that that's true of me. I didn't really realize that I was hungry, but I knew that there was something that wasn't right with what I was getting. Somehow I knew that there was something more. I also knew that some of the things that they were teaching me didn't add up according to the Word of God. And And when I tried to make them fit, I had to twist it to make it fit with other parts of the word. And I said, Lord, there's something wrong. This should fit easily. One piece of the word should perfectly fit with another piece. I shouldn't have to change the interpretation of what God meant to make it fit into a doctrine that's not right. And so he suffered me to hunger. And then one day he brought me manna. What is manna? Well, that's what manna is what is. What is it? That's the meaning of manna. What is it? But as Sister Eileen said, it really means... Say it again. The Word. The Word of God. So one day, some men came, and I began to eat the manna. I said, oh, this is right. This is a different kind of food. Now it says here that your fathers did not know about. My fathers had the Word of God. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, they read the Bible. Nobody tried to say anything false about it. But nobody tried to get very far above it either. We understood it. And I understood it. I remember hearing the word. I remember hearing the Bible read when I was 3-4 years old. But now the kingdom of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God were something that my fathers never knew. My fathers would never have studied the tabernacle. It was just something that was there in the Old Testament, and nobody really knew much about it. It was something old, you know. Yeah, it was curious, and it probably had a meaning, but what did it matter? So he said he humbled us. Amen. And he said that our fathers didn't know. He read the verse already. And he said that you might know that man does not live by bread only. Yeah. So what Moses was trying to tell them is that there's something of life that goes beyond your natural life. we would say today there's something in your walk as a Christian your testimony should go beyond, well, I'm saved and baptized and happy about it. And I'm on my way to heaven. In other words, your testimony should have more than just those basic truths. I had those things when I was 9 years old. And I resisted. I resisted every suggestion that I might go a little further. No, those are Pentecostal people. They go blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever. And, you know, they do it because they're emotional. And I'm solid and steadfast and stoical. I don't need all that hype. You know, I got to tell you a little story. I was in my 30s. I don't know, 35 or 6 or 7 or somewhere in there. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Woo! Mennonite guy got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I went into a meeting, and the preacher was telling us how we need to rejoice and, you know, raise your hands and clap your hands. And at the time, I was an administrator of the hospital. So I was in the back of the room. Is there anybody here from the hospital that's going to see me? This is not very dignified for the boss to be doing. After a while, I got over it. I shut my eyes. And I don't care who's watching. You see, this is things that my fathers never did. You, at the Bible school, you began to listen to and eat something that your spiritual fathers never ate. And you make a choice. You make a choice. Is this true? Is this the Word of God? So you're careful at the manna that you're going to eat. Amen. Now, so you see, there was something that they had to eat. They had to know that man does not live by natural bread alone. Let me just close by giving you a couple of examples now, and you can write these down. And this is nowhere near the whole list. But Brother Job, in chapter 23, verse 12, he says, This is part of Job's complaint, by the way. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed his words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. So that means that Job knew how to hear the voice of God. Job did not have a Bible to read. Job lived long before the Bible was ever written. So Job was saying, I needed the word of the Lord more than I needed my own food. David said in Psalm 119, verse 103. He said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. Is it time to close?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's wind it up then. You can write these down. I'll give you a couple more. You just write them down. Sometime look at Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Go into the whole chapter, John, verse chapter 6. Amen. The woman... John chapter 4, the woman at the well, where they said that he had food. That what food did you find? He said,
The well of the Father.
Yeah. John chapter 4. Look in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. Look, and that goes all the way through the third chapter, the second verse. There's three verses there. It's about eating the word of God. Well, we'll get into more things later. I think it's time to quit. So the Lord bless you. Amen. And why don't somebody come and bless the food?